It's that time again. It is time for Living the Good Life right here on TANTalkNetwork.com. And I am Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries, Clearwater, Florida. And I am very glad to be right back here in this chair today. And was not here last week, off in Texas with my new little grandson, Joel Chase, who is now my number 12. And what a sweetheart and what a delight to spend 3 or 4 days with him and his mama while my son was off speaking at a conference. And it was great. It was nice to be in San Marcos, Texas. But it's really great to be right here in this chair again. And I miss it when I'm not here. Doesn't feel right for some reason, because I'm usually right here in this chair in the control room. Looking through the glass into the studio, I am seeing Dr. Angel, and I am seeing Nan. And it's good to have you both here as part of our radio team today. They're getting all plugged in and turning on the air and all that stuff that they're doing in there to get ready to go. Every single week, we come in here with something ready to happen, ready to see God's hand move in this show. We don't come in here to do these shows lightly. Nor do we have a script, nor do we know exactly where we're headed. We have a general ballpark idea, but we just let the Holy Spirit lead, and that's what it's all about. So the whole goal of this show is to bring you the Word of God in such a way that you can hear it, receive it, and you want to act on it, and it will change your life. And as I've said many times, we are in our 11th year and getting ready to celebrate our 11th anniversary at the middle of April. Very excited about 11 years on the air every Sunday afternoon right here on TANTalkNetwork.com. You can go here and go to podcasts. See the tab for podcasts and go down to the name of this show, which is Living the Good Life. Or you can go to our Thursday night show, Go Yard, and find podcasts right there here at the station for you to listen to. Many of them. And Dr. Angel, why would they want to listen to our Thursday night show that you and I co-host? Why would they want to listen to that show?
Well, Go Yard, which means hitting the home run, Go Yard, which means hitting the home runs in life, is our life coaching show. And we take it a topical show, and we really work to give individuals relevant tools that they can use in their life to get through life's bumps and bruises. And so going on the website, they are all tagged and titled, so you can find that show that relates to you today.
Are you saying that we do have bumps and bruises in life?
Everybody has bumps and bruises in
life. Well, I didn't think you did, Dr. Angel, because you're like, Dr. Angel.
Even Dr. Angel gets bumps and bruises.
Oh, yes. And she's our resident expert, having a PhD and licensed mental health counselor. Tune in to Thursday night show, Go Yard, 6:06 p.m. every Thursday night right here on this radio station. We're in our fourth year on that show, and it's fun to do that show, isn't it?
Oh, I love doing that show. It's, you know, Thursday night's kind of the end of the week, and you come in, and you're all exhausted. And then as we do it, I think I leave with so much more energy and love it.
Yeah, I do, too. I know. It doesn't matter how tired we are. We come in there, and we're just fired up. Nan, did we have church this morning, or did we have church?
We have.
Whoa, what's wrong here? Let me find you. Go ahead.
Yep.
Am I on?
Now you are, since I just pushed the button that said on.
Thank you. On's good.
On's good.
We had a fantastic service this morning.
Yes, we did.
We were just talking about that before the radio show.
It's amazing.
We were talking about it in the afternoon. Just how wonderful. I mean, it was just God's presence was just so ever so strong there. And we all were blessed. We were just blessed by that service this morning.
God was moving mightily. Prophetic word. Just all kinds of things. Worship was amazing, and everybody was in it. There wasn't a soul in the room that wasn't into it. And Angel, what does it do to you when we're in the presence of the Lord like that, which we're going to be right here for the next 2 hours?
It's a refueling time. It's a resting time. It's just that time where you can let go and fill back up of God's strength and his energy and his power, and let go of the things that we've been hanging on to, that we've been fighting in our strength and our power. But it is such a refuelment for me.
Absolutely. We're starting a new series today. We started actually on our Facebook post on Thursday. If you missed it, you can go to my post or Beacon of Hope Ministries to catch it. And it's about this new topic, the power of love, as we approach the resurrection season. I am fired up about this new topic. You couldn't tell that this morning, could you, Dr. Angel?
Oh, not at all.
Not at all. Okay. So the power of love, we have so much we want to talk about. And you know what? For all of us out there on the airwaves, wherever you are scattered around the globe, welcome to Living the Good Life. And we really hope that you understand that the day is going to mark a brand new adventure in your life. How do I know that? Because God told me to tell you that. Okay, you say, oh, you hear from God. Yeah, absolutely. Actually, yes. And it's a new adventure. This is a new season. So whatever you're going through, dear listener, you can have a fresh start today. And it's going to be based on the power of God's love. That's what it's going to be based on. We're going to kick off the show with a crazy, wonderful song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, The Great Adventure. Because you know what? That's what we're on. Saddle up those horses. Come on. This is for Betty Thomas out there and her horses. Saddle up for your great adventure, dear friends. Trail to blaze. We're going to blaze a little bit of that trail today right here on the air on our show. That trail has everything to do with teaching the love of God, how much God loves you, dear listener. wherever you might be. God's got a, oh man, you're the apple of his eye is what it says in the book of Proverbs. You're the apple of his eye, Angel and Nan and every one of you listeners out there. And for every single one of us, God's got a plan for you that is special, special, special. And some of you out there are going, you don't know me. How would you, why would you think God has a special plan for me? Because his word tells us how much he loves us and that every single person is important to him. Nan, you got a poem that you got just then? Let's hear it. And then we're going to go to Luke 15, everybody.
You may not know where you will be after you finish with this series. However, listen to all that is said. Of change, you will be set free. I have so much to teach you. Listen to all that I say to you. It's the time of a brand new life. So listening is what you're to do. You will learn so much here. Listen up. Things will come to you. I will bring the words and thoughts. Listening is what you're to do. And I think it's kind of fitting. It's in this poem, he's concentrating, God's concentrating on us listening.
Yes, isn't that interesting?
And the people listening and whoever's listening to really listen, to really take it in.
Well, you know, that's a really good point to start with because I think a lot of people don't even listen to somebody they're sitting across the table from at dinner or somebody that they work with. Angel, as a counselor, licensed mental health counselor, you have occasion to sit across from people every single day, probably most of the day, and you have a choice whether just to be playing on your computer or to be singing a song in your head or planning out some chapter in a book you're writing or to pay attention and listen, don't you?
Absolutely, it's a choice. And you know what I find is very few people really listen attentively when they are in conversations with someone else.
You're right. Why?
I think people get stuck in their own head, get stuck in their own world, and they're not really hearing what the other person is saying. They let distractions come in. They're not prioritizing that conversation.
I've known so many people in my life that I've been close friends with, whatever part of the ministry or just close friends. And I've seen this happen many times. When you're in a conversation with them, it's like they're planning what they're going to say in response to what you're saying right then. And they're really not listening to what you have to say. It triggered a thought. Oh, I got to tell this story. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. That happens all the time. All the time.
And what it shows is that we are more wrapped up in ourselves than we are in that other person.
Absolutely. And, you know, we got to prioritize that. You know, anybody's gone out to lunch with me knows that I set the cell phone down unless it's an emergency call. I'm not picking it up because I want that person to know that they're important. This
exactly.
is your time.
Yeah. And we send a bad message when we do answer. And sometimes you have to. In my real estate business, sometimes I absolutely have to answer something, a quick answer or something on a deal. But for the most part, I think a lot of people are more concerned about what's going on in their own head or their own life than what they're listening to. Nan, you want to comment on that before we go to Luke chapter 15?
Well, I'm sorry.
I don't know. Were you listening, Nan? She wasn't listening to me, Dr. Angel. What do you do with that? I mean, she's the object of what we're talking about right here.
We have an object lesson.
We have an object lesson.
Yes.
And here, Nan, watch. Okay.
You got my attention, Pastor.
Okay, go ahead.
No, what I was thinking about, you know, you do have to set that phone down.
Yeah.
You know, there's something I posted on Facebook. It showed dating today. And it was like the guy was sitting there on his cell phone. The girl was sitting on her cell phone. And that is their date because they're both sitting on their cell phones. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I share something else about cell phones and I get off cell phones. I love my cell phone. But I was sitting in a restaurant one day and this mother and son were sitting. They were right in front of me. And they both were on their cell phones. So I snuck a picture of them,
right.
Blacked out their face. Another couple came and sat down at the same booth, did the same thing. I took a picture, blacked out their face, and I posted it on Facebook.
Right.
And this is the way the communication is today.
Right.
I'm like, Angel, I was out at breakfast with someone this morning who gave me their attention.
Right.
Put aside what they were doing. They were working on something when I came in. Put aside what they were doing. And it gave me their attention. You know, and
excellent.
That made me feel good. You know,
well, what if these stories that we read about Jesus, which we're getting ready to do right here in Luke 15, what if it said, and when Jesus finally had time to listen, then he responded? Or what if it said this was going on, but Jesus really wasn't paying much attention. He was off in his own world thinking about what he was going to say next.
It would be a totally different story, wouldn't it?
It would.
You know, and that's where we see Jesus have that compassion for people. That compassion happens when we prioritize that person.
That's exactly right.
Because then we can genuinely start feeling what it is they're going through and seeing that and wanting to, you know, get in there and minister to that person.
Absolutely. And it is reflected in our eyes, in the expressions on our face, in the way we engage somebody. With your eyes as you're talking to them, and they can tell if you're listening or if you're not, right?
Oh yes.
Or if you're listening and with one eye and then you're looking down at your phone, with one eye looking down at your phone. Luke chapter 15, Jesus was listening. By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation. Ha! Love it. We started with this passage in our service this morning, and then went all kinds of other places. But I want to start with this same little section here today on the radio. Men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. Kind of the point we've been talking about, how important it is to listen intently. The Pharisees and religion scholars were not at all pleased. They growled. Here we go. He takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treating them like old friends. Their grumbling triggered this story. Now, Jesus is going to tell three stories here in Luke 15 because of the reaction he got, because there were people hanging around with Jesus that were people of not necessarily a good reputation. And, you know, so many people in this world are so concerned about their reputation. You know, they don't want to be known as so-and-so's friend, or they don't want to be seen in a public place with maybe a person of another race, which is totally wrong, or a person, you know. You know what I'm saying, Dr. Angel? Do you want to comment on any of that?
No, I do.
You don't? No, yeah. I do.
I do know what you're saying, and I would like to comment. a reputation, people, I think they've taken that to like this huge degree in our culture, and they're not thinking, and it's taken negatively. It's not this reputation that I want to be a trustworthy person, or I want to be the person that I say what I mean and mean what I say. Those aren't the things that they're so concerned about. It's who am I keeping company with, and oh, well, you're not seen as important as I am, so I really shouldn't have lunch with you or be seen with you. Oh, don't post our pictures, you know, on social media. I don't want people to know we're hanging out together because it could look bad. And that's not compassion.
No,
and that's not love, and that's not honesty.
And even though Jesus did not have a Facebook account, did you guys know that he did not have one?
I was quite suspicious.
Oh yeah, right. Even though he did not, he thought it was fine to hang around with people of quote unquote ill repute, right? So he tells this story in Luke chapter 15, starting with verse 4. So, suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? When found, you can be sure you would put it across your shoulders, rejoicing. And when you got home, you would call in your friends and neighbors and say, "Celebrate with me, I've found my lost sheep." And then he says, count on it. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in no need of rescue. This is just really, this story and the next two that we're going to read here has really gotten to me this week, Nan, because it brought me right back to dead center where we need to be. No, not dead center, alive center. Where we need to be realizing that every single person in this world is a person of value. Every animal is an animal of value. Every person has value and worth. Every animal has value and worth to God. God talks about the animals. There will be animals in heaven, guys. I will see my Bailey boy. I will see my little CJ again. You say, are you sure about that? Yeah, but I don't have time to teach that right now. But you know what? God created the animals. They are important to him. And you, dear listener, are very important to him, regardless of any problems you've had in your life and how you feel like you have not been good, quote unquote. Dan?
Well, everyone needs to realize that they are important. We all are important. It doesn't matter what stature you are in life or what your position is or what your profession is or how far you are in your profession. You know, it doesn't, that doesn't matter to God. You know, he's no respecter of persons is what the Word of God tells us. And he loves us all. And, you know, for the shepherd to go out to look for that one sheep, that's really what the church is supposed to be doing. The church is supposed to be going out looking for sheep, bringing sheep back in. You know, what came to mind was a long time ago in a church we used to talk about how the church shoots their wounded.
Oh, absolutely.
The church shoots their wounded, and they shouldn't be doing that. They should be reaching out to them like a lost sheep.
Right.
And be there for them and love them and let them see God's love through them. That's what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, but here you see what Jesus is talking here, and he's saying, why wouldn't a shepherd go looking for that one? Well, I'll tell you a modern-day reason why he wouldn't do it in this day and age. Angel, you can tell me what you think of it. People don't like to be inconvenienced.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's true.
People are busy. Don't bother me with somebody else's prayer request. I got my own stuff to deal with.
Well, an inconvenience goes, well, I have 99 that are okay.
Right, so why should I bother with the one?
Exactly.
Right? So can you speak to that?
And this number is good enough.
Right.
You know, and I think it shows a lack of true compassion and love towards fellow human beings.
Absolutely, it does. And don't you think, I mean, with the racial tension in this country, it is time. This is not a political show, but it is time to put that stuff aside. And it is time to treat people lovingly and equally. They are all children of God. This story does not say, well, all the white sheep, you keep those. And any black sheep, now I'm not talking racially here, but you can apply it that way. A lot of us have been black sheep in our own families. Do you want to speak to that, Angel?
Oh, the ones that just kind of don't fit in or blend.
Right.
Maybe made different choices or have awkwardness or different characteristics. That's just a sheep that's not really fitting in with the family.
Right. A lot of people, even from pulpits around this nation, try their best to label certain groups as black sheep and that they are not welcome in God's kingdom or God doesn't love them as much as he does someone else. I mean, we've lived in this nation now for, I grew up in the time of the civil rights movement and all of that going on and you know, Martin Luther King and hearing all those things and realizing that our nation still, even this day, has a lot of people that are racist, that are bigots, that are not tolerant. They are not tolerant. Oh my gosh, I don't usually talk like this, right?
I know you do not.
No, I do not. But you know what? This just brings it, the power of love. Love says we love because Christ first loved us. We love because these animals need to be protected. We love because people need to be protected. We love because our children need to be protected in our schools, etc. I won't get into that debate, but we love because God created us to be vessels of love. Yes, I'm preaching.
Yes,
and
you
I know.
Are.
But you know what? That's what he created us to be. He did not create us to be vessels of hatred and bigotry and racism and intolerance. He created us to be vessels of love, Nan.
A lot of the people in churches don't get that concept.
Why? Why not?
Because it might require attention on their part, like we've already talked about. It might require them to have to do something, and they don't want to do something. You know, the final people who, not old people, but fine people who hang out in churches and just look down on people and talk about people, and, you know, they're not lifting them up. They're not loving them. They're putting them down.
Well, man, you and I and Angel all grew up in church, and we know right. that an awful lot of churchgoers have given Christianity and church going a bad name because there's so many quote-unquote hypocrites, which means they go to church and they say the right thing, but they are very unloving or hateful, in fact.
Well, people will say, if that's being a Christian, I don't want anything to do with it.
They do say that. One of the reasons we do this show every week for 11 years now is because we want to teach the true principles of the Word of God, that Jesus was extremely accepting and loving. Right here in Luke 15, it says he hung out with people of ill repute, people that were of doubtful reputation. Angel?
Well, you know, and that is, it goes back to, God does not have a value system of less than or more than with his creation. He loves us all. He's created us all. He has destined every life with a plan and a purpose. And with God, one human doesn't have more value or less value depending on their choices or their circumstances. But with people, there's a whole value system.
So is this why that he tells the story? A shepherd has 100 sheep, 99 are safe and fine. One's lost, he leaves the good ones, and he goes out to find the lost one.
With God, it's all the same value. It's a value, and it's a compassion. And I do not want any of my sheep hurting or not where they're supposed to be. And it's that love and that empathy that draws to get out of my comfort zone and go meet that need, go minister over here.
That's exactly right. And you know, as a mother, and all three of us are, and me as a grandmother, we have had many opportunities. Nan only has one son. Not only, Nan is blessed with one son. You have three. I have three. And I remember saying to people when my oldest son was a baby, I can't imagine ever loving any more kids. I love him so much. How could I ever love any more kids? And then God expanded my heart when Lori came along. And then when Mark came along, it was the same way. And now with 12 grandchildren, every single one is unique. Every grandchild that I have is a blessing. And it's like they're all different, but they're all so amazing individually. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And that's what God has birthed in us for other people, except we lose it. We lose that. We start thinking, oh, well, I don't like their lifestyle choices, so I can hate them, or I don't like, you know, they or their divorce, so we can judge this, we can judge that. And the judgment changes by culture, system, right, generation. It's never stayed the same, but we have some kind of measurement of, oh, well, they're not worthy of my time.
But doesn't it always boil down to whatever the criteria is that the person judging and not accepting certain people makes them feel better about themselves, that they are up on a pedestal and they're okay, they're perfect, they're white, let's say, instead of black, or they are straight instead of gay, or whatever the comparison is. So many people get off on these tangents because it makes them feel better about who they are.
Absolutely, and I'm going to dare to say that they don't truly know the love of Christ.
There you go. And that's why I'm going to play this song right now, which happens to be, it's just interesting that it just happens to be Nan and Angel's favorite song.
Oh, I know what that one is. Yes.
Good, Good Father by Chris Tomlin. Actually, it's Casting Crowns, sorry.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell that you're pleased and that I am never alone. 'Cause you're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. For answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just
Love that song. Love that song. Nan, God gave you something during that song. What is it?
It's a poem entitled, I'm With You on Your Journey. I am a good, good father. I care what happens to you. I am with you through the difficulties, these trails you will make it through. I love you with all of my heart. Call out to me, for I am here. I will uphold you through your trials, for to you I am so near. So, what will you do with this? Call out to me, your good, good father. I will carry you when you're down. For you, I am always there. Mm. It's interesting, in the first verse, and I spell checked it, and it got past, I said, these trials.
Right.
But in that particular line, it said, these trails.
Trails. I heard you say
and
that.
And I was like, and I changed it. Then I changed it back. We're on a journey.
Right. It's
and
a trail.
We have a trail.
Yeah.
You know, and I was thinking when that song was playing, you know, when you were talking about how long the radio show's been and we've been doing it, and I was like, gosh, why wasn't I there at the beginning of that? Why, you know, why wasn't I?
We didn't know you.
Yeah, exactly. I came in 4 years later to Beacon, and it was like, this was the point of time for me to be at Beacon.
Right.
And just as the people, wherever they are, this is their point in time. To be where they be, and they need to flourish and shine where they are.
Exactly.
And they need to show God's love.
Oh, amen. We're going back to Luke 15. We're going to verse 8. Jesus gives another example. Example number 2. Or imagine a woman who has 10 coins. and loses one. Let's put it in our everyday vernacular. You know, you have $1,000 in the bank. You lose $100. Okay? Won't she light a lamp and scour the house, looking in every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, you can be sure she'll call her friends and neighbors, "Celebrate with me! I found my lost coin. Count on it." That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. Now, these are the words of Jesus, and I find this very interesting because a lot of us like a party, do we not? And yes. I'm not talking about drugs and alcohol. I'm talking the kind of party where we have a beacon sometimes, where we all just get together, have lunch together, or just have a good time, and that kind of party where we've gathered together and we're telling jokes, we're telling funny stories, we're just having fun, okay? Interestingly here, this woman has 10 coins. Why bother go looking for the one she lost, Angel? Why?
Because it's valuable to her.
Oh. Oh. Is that why maybe we just did that song, "He's a Good, Good Father, and He Looks for Every One of Us"?
Absolutely, because there's value. If there's value in something, we are going to go out of our way. We're going to let ourselves be inconvenienced. We're going to make it a priority. It's all in that value.
So it's not that God wants any of us to perish, and the Word says that. It's not His will that any of us should perish, but that all would come to a knowledge of God, right?
Absolutely.
Back to my example of kids and grandkids. I have 12, so there's not one that I would say, well, I've got quite a few. I just don't care if that one really knows God or if that one is good, sweet, kind, and lovely, as my dad always told us, sweet, kind, and lovely be, or that one's a success. I've got, 11 more. So what if one doesn't love me? Which they all do. But what if one did not? It's no big deal. I've got them all. I got all those extras. Is that how God looks at His children, Nan?
No. He looks at us individually. And like the one sheep that went off.
Right.
The shepherd went to find that sheep. And right. God does the same thing. He loves us all equally. And, like Angel was saying, there's no value put on a higher level, this person versus this person, we're all equal in His sight.
We're all different.
Well, we are all different.
And there's no one set way of looking or succeeding in life, let's say, or job performance or cuteness or any of that, right? That God says, oh, okay, I only want this little group right here. Talk to us about this, Angel. These stories really bring this home, don't they?
Absolutely, it does. It shows that God's love is for each and every one of His children, the good ones and the bad ones, per se,
right.
And He genuinely loves them.
Why did we play that song?
Because He's a good, good Father. And I think, it's simple, but it's profound. I think so many people have participated in churches or religious upbringings through the years where they've kind of learned God to be, trying to catch us doing something bad and punitive and not this loving, graceful Father.
So many have grown up in churches where guilt is really, from the pulpit you hear it Sunday after Sunday, just sermons on sin and repentance and all of that kind of stuff Sunday after Sunday instead of sermons on growing in the grace of God.
Well, can I say,
go ahead.
In the denomination I was raised in, we used to joke and say, they spend so much time talking about all the bad stuff. They don't. I'm not saying it right, but they don't spend time talking about they spend all the time talking about what we can't do,
right?
Versus what we can do.
Good point. Excellent point. Excellent segue into this point. So, what we're specializing in this series now is the power of love, not the power of sin. We all know sin has power, right? Not the power of doubt and unbelief. We know that has power, right? That devil uses doubt, unbelief, sin, anger, hard feelings, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness. The devil uses those things to try to separate us from the love of God. That is always the goal, Angel. Always the goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if you've all ever been in a situation in a family where one family member will try to separate, let's say, the mother from one of the other kids that they are jealous of, for instance. And they, my kids would try this as when they were little, and they would try telling on each other, you know? Oh, well, you don't know what she just did. And they'd run in. I'm telling mom, you know, and they'd run in and cause a big old mess. And the goal was so they would look better, is the point we made a little while ago. They would look better, and that child, the other one, would be found out for what they did. That is not how God's true disciples and children, all of us, servants of God, should behave, Nan. It shouldn't be a matter of trying to point the finger at someone else.
No, that reminded me of a situation. It wasn't in a sibling situation. It was in a marriage situation. And I was married, and he and I ultimately divorced. And it was during that period, then after that divorce, I was talking to my parents one day, and all of a sudden, they started telling me, well, he said you did this, and he said you did that.
Like, exactly. That happens so often in divorce.
I didn't do that, any of that. No, he was doing this while we were still together, before the divorces.
Okay.
We were still together, and what he was trying to do was he was trying to create a wedge between my parents
exactly.
and myself.
Exactly.
And he would tell me stuff that they said. Well, we didn't talk to each other, confirm any of this until after the divorce. And then we somehow came up one day, and so that was the point I'm making. His goal was to cause division.
Right.
And to cause not to love each other.
Well, that's the whole goal. That's what the devil, who is the root of that kind of behavior, which is divisive, it is destructive, it is distracting. Oh, these all begin with D. And it's because they all come from the devil, right?
Go.
And he's a disruptor. He loves divorce, all of those things. He loves splitting people up in churches, in families. The devil is the great disruptor, right? You know, have you ever known somebody when you're trying to have a conversation with you that they always interrupt you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And they talk over you?
Yes.
Talk to me about that, Angel, as a counselor, and any of your other insights about that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it just goes to show they're not really involved in the conversation.
Right.
They're just all about, I got to say what I want to say right now. And they're not in this moment with what's happening. It's frustrating.
Okay. So if you just now were telling me that, and if I go ahead, start telling me something again, I'm going to give an example. Go ahead.
Okay. Well,
and because of all that, go on. Go on.
It's frustrating.
What? What's frustrating? You know, go ahead. What point were you making?
Making the point that
she was making this point, people, about
when they cut you off, you're not even hearing you.
Okay. So I just did that intentionally. Why? To make you mad? No.
Her face is too
told you it was going to be a weird show today. We didn't know how it was going to be, but we knew that. Woo. Okay, but what was the point I was trying to make by being so interrupting and disgusting and rude?
Well, it just goes to show that
that I can be that way.
Well, no, I wasn't.
Thanks, Angel.
Say that
was good. You are in trouble.
Well, first of all, it's super frustrating, and the person's not being heard. You're not valued. You're not valued when that's happening.
And don't you see in these stories, Jesus is saying, I value all of you. I don't care where you have been. I don't care what you have done. I value you. I love you. And the woman that's lost one coin, I need that coin back. I'm going to look for it. I'm going to light a candle and go look for it. Or we're getting ready to do the prodigal son here. I believe that's what God's telling us to do right now. And I love this story, because Jesus is telling these three stories to people who are sitting there being critical, people who are sitting there being condemning of him reaching out to sinners. So as the story starts here, Luke 15, verse 11, he goes on. This is his third story. Then he said, there was once a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, Father, I want right now what's coming to me. So sounds like a kid, right? I want my inheritance now. I'm not going to wait till you die to get it. I want it now. Why? Because I want to spend it the way I want to spend it, and I want to spend it right now the way I want to do it. And that's what happened right here. And it doesn't say whether or not there was a lot of arguments about this or anything else. It just says the father gave in. And I think that this is interesting in our spiritual lives, because so often we jump and scream and say, I want this now. I want this now. God, why are you not answering my prayer right now?
It's the Burger King mentality. I want it my way and I want it now.
And there you go. That's great insight. And you know, like this father, a lot of times God will say, okay, sure. All right, just to shut you up, I'm going to let you have it. And invariably, what happens then?
We mess up. No, we don't make good choices then with what we have.
Right, or it's not what's best for us, but we thought it was. And so we've insisted and pounded heaven till God says, I'm going to teach you a lesson through this. Sure, you can have this. Angel, does that happen?
Oh, yes, it does happen. I think when we start pitching those fits, you know, God will say, okay, you think you need this? Here you go. And then before long, it's a mess, and we're in a mess. And the great thing is of his grace and his mercy, and now we'll be humble enough to actually be patient enough to really wait for what God has for us.
Which is why I have to play this song right here. By Casting Crowns, Jesus, Friend of Sinners. Love this song.
Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away. We've cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up, I'm so double-minded. A plank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Led by mercy, help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours.
To remember, we are all the least of these. Let the memory of your mercy bring your people to their knees.
Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. What if we put down our signs, crossed over the lines, and love like you did? Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. You are good.
You are good, and your love endures forever.
Sing it out.
You are good. You are good, and your love endures forever.
Let our hearts be led by mercy.
Raise your hand if Jesus found you.
And that was the lost cause. And that was the outcast.
Some of us were a lost cause or an outcast. You died for all of us, dear Jesus. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, we just thank you for your gift. Your gift of salvation. We thank you that you loved us so much, Father God, that you sent your son Jesus to this earth to teach us, to talk, to tell us about your great love, to die on a cross out of love. Lord, we just praise you and thank you that you care about each one of us, no matter how much we've messed up, no matter all the things we've done, no matter what's in our past or even right now in our present. Lord, we thank you for your salvation. We thank you that we can come humbly to your throne and we can ask for mercy and grace, and you give it to us and you forgive us. And so, Lord, we do that. We thank you right now for our dear listeners. Let them each realize the importance of your mercy this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Nan, you had something that God gave you during that song? What a great song.
I am the friend of sinners. I love them so very much. I desire to have them come to me so that their lives I can touch. They will be able to feel my love. I will bless them in a special way. My heart breaks for each one of them. I desire for them to have a new day. Reach out to those around you who need to know about me. Will you reach out to them, letting them know that they can be free?
Woo, I like that.
I like that.
What's the title of that one?
I'm a friend of sinners.
I'm a friend of sinners. Wow.
You know, this one, and I think another one, poses a question.
It does, to question,
us. This one says, will you reach out to them, letting them know they can be free?
But isn't that a great question? Because so many people, they see sin, they see situations in their churches or their homes or their workplace, and they don't pray about it or do anything about it, but maybe perhaps gossip about it. Angel, talk.
Oh, yes. You know, the gossip prayer request kind of trap, you know, it's all, we're going to have a prayer request, and it's just a really great way of gossiping and not feeling guilty about it.
Right.
And, you know, it just, that's a lack of love and a lack of genuine care and concern, because you have care and concern, you're going to want to protect that person.
Right. Sure.
And protecting them is not letting their business get all out and make it public for them either, and being there and, hey, you know, I know you're going through a rough time. How's your day? You know, that's compassion.
Right.
Unfortunately, I feel like we really miss it in our culture. And I feel like we're really, really missing it. And I feel like we're getting a greater divide, especially in the church, of this, like, religiosity. And, you know, you got to do this and you got to do that. And you got to do it this way for God to love you and for you to have value. And these people who don't, well, we don't care about them. And literally, we don't care. I mean, I've heard messages of certain people, you know, if they were all just gathered up and put in camps and set on fire, that would be okay with them.
There's people preaching that kind of hatred across this nation.
And that's not the love or compassion of the God they profess to serve.
That's exactly right. It's time for a renewal, a revival, a realization that God loves each of us just the way we are, even though you may be different than other people in your family. You may have all kinds of stuff going on in your life. God's word to you today is that he loves you. He is a good, good father. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what you're trying to overcome, maybe you're an addict of something, God loves you. He has a plan for your life. That's what this ministry is all about. Beacon of Hope Ministries, we're in our 17th year, and we're very, very blessed to have been able to withstand all kinds of storms that have happened in 17 years and to just still be having amazing times with God in our service on Sunday morning, on our radio show, and ministering to people that have prayer needs. We encourage you, use our prayer line, email line, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Why would they even want to use that, Nan? Why would they want to use a prayer line?
They want help.
They want help. And it's free.
It's free.
And it works. What kind of help will they get?
They'll see God move in their situations.
Absolutely.
We've had so many things. You know, prayer requests has been made.
Oh.
And throughout all these years, and answers to those prayers.
Answers. My gosh.
And the answers are just it's awesome. Then it excites us when we get these answers back on these prayers.
It does.
And you know, it gives them a 24/7 ability to reach out.
Right.
It's picked up then by Pastor Jim or Betty, and then they send out. Right. Am I supposed to say all this? I'm going.
Yeah, please do.
They will send out what the prayer request is. They will send out a prayer with the prayer request so that we're all on the prayer team praying in unity for that particular need that's been shared.
Absolutely. And people can join the prayer team. There's no financial responsibility or anything like that. Although we do have people ask from time to time, how can I be a blessing? You can give financially for the support of this show. And that's what it would go for. If you go to our website, bohmglobal.com, to the bottom of the homepage, go to donations, and it will open a window for PayPal, and you can give. Any money that comes in there goes for the support of this weekly two-hour show. Angel, you got about a minute. Talk to us about our show again, our Thursday night show.
Our Thursday night show right here on this station at 6:06 p.m. It's Go Yard. It means hitting the home runs in life. It is a life coaching show with me, Dr. Angel, and you, Miss Mama Mac.
Not Miss Mama Mac. I don't
Mama
like that
Mac.
Term.
Sorry.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for clarifying.
Your alter ego. And it's a show of practical help, life coaching tools to help you get through the bumps of life and to do it successfully and to do it with purpose, with passion, and to live the best we can.
Oh, isn't that true? And that's what it's all about. It is. Wow, what a blessing. So, you know, it's just, we encourage you to go listen to these shows. We have hundreds, and I mean literally probably 400 or more shows on our big website, bohmglobal.com. Go to radio broadcast, and you can sit to your heart's content and listen to shows over and over again. There's so many of them, and we encourage you.